I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live and local, this is Brandon Santiago and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game.
Our favorite.
this is awesome. I love it.
Yeah, man.
Welcome back to 95.7 Liar! The Game. It is. I ain't lying. It's 95.7 The Game. Look at your radio. It says 957. Brandon Santiago, Victor Zaragoza. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we will give you the love right back. Mr. Brandon Santiago, your Twitter
Santiago
handle.
Sports.
Say it again.
B Santiago Sports.
There you go. B Santiago Sports. And yours truly is Big Daddy Z Sports. Real simple. Z as in zebra in between. And we'll show you all the love. This game is just crazy. I definitely want to get to Raider talk, but I know a lot of you say, yes, talk Raiders. But this is just crazy. And I think they got a bad spot, but I'm just saying. This second overtime, it was fourth and one, right?
Fourth and inches, Vic.
Fourth and inches.
Fourth and a shoelace.
And I don't think they made it, but are they giving it to them?
That looks, they didn't make it. I'll tell you right now, looking at the video from right here, he ran into the buttocks of one of his own teammates.
The buttocks.
How they say it in French.
The buttocks.
But I don't think they got it. However, it looks like they gave
and
him
here
a good
in the
spot.
They call it the boo-boo.
The boo-boo. The boo-boo. He did his best Mark Sanchez impersonation.
Ah, except he didn't fumble.
Yeah.
Except he didn't fumble.
Rashiki.
Yeah, very. Look at you in Daly City on me, dude.
Holla.
You in Daly City on me.
I can't help it. Every
little
so often.
WWE action right here.
Yep,
shout
yep,
out going out to Rikishi and all my Usos out there in the Daly City. Appreciate you listening always. Got love for my Usos.
No doubt. That's my people, man.
All the Samoan family out there. Got love for y'all.
Yeah, that was definitely an unintentional stink face right there. So we'll see how that works out.
And by the way, just here's a quick little tat on that because we are going to get deep into this. This game right here, this first overtime, once they went into overtime, it's the first overtime game in the history of the series of Ohio
what?
State and Michigan.
No way.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, first time ever that they go in.
Staggering.
Yeah. Ain't that something?
I would have never guessed
Ain't
that.
Ain't that something? Wow.
Hey, they've been playing football since football was actually pig's skin and it had laces on it.
They used to throw an actual pig.
And
he scores.
Wow. Well,
and
there you go.
And Ohio State wins.
Well, there you go.
And that's game.
Wow. I thought we could, we couldn't do play-by-play. Completely went out the window.
After the fact.
Oh, yeah, right.
It was after the fact.
All right. Okay, wow.
So my son is texting me like crazy because he is a diehard Michigan fan. I'm a diehard Ohio State fan. I can't say one of the words that he put on there, but he said he didn't get it. That ball was in his right hand, clearly a yard short, and then he put a big capital B, big capital S, with a gazillion exclamation marks.
A gazillion, though. That's the official count.
Yeah, a gazillion
no
exclamation marks.
No recounts for us.
So to my son, little daddy, which he's big daddy now, good game, brother.
So what is that? Did it make you bigger daddy?
he's all, thanks. Thank the refs for the game.
right. What is that? If he's big daddy now, what does that make you?
Bigger daddy? Older big, daddy?
Older.
Elder daddy, I guess.
Elder daddy. I love it. Awesome.
But anyway, awesome, there it is awesome, right awesome. There. Number three, Michigan loses. They go down. We'll see what happens on Tuesday when the committee comes out for the college playoffs and see exactly what's, what's going to happen with them, you know, and most
sucks,
likely,
man.
They'll get a nice bowl, but, you know, at least Ohio State is in for the running for the championship.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, the way they played, they don't have a chance against Bama.
Mediocre.
They do not have a chance against Bama. But anyway, just like we promised you, that game is over, so now you're going to hear some Raider talk, so let's get into that. Just to give you all the details, Raiders opening drive starts at 11:30 p.m. live from Raiderville at the Coliseum with Chris Townsend and Bill Romanowski. Kickoff is at 1:25. You get all the action right here on 95.7 The Game, along with our sister stations 102.9 KBLX and also 98.5 K-Fox, streaming online at 957thegame.com, or if not, download the app and you are good to go.
Yep.
So with all that being said, I ask you, is it a Super Bowl hangover? They were 15-1 last year. This year, they're sitting there at 4-6. Yes, they have a lot of injuries, but they're still the Carolina Panthers. What the heck is going on with this team, sir?
Yeah, Vic, you know what? I likened it a couple of weeks ago. I likened it to a boxer taking too many blows to the head. This team, we know the engine of this team is Cam Newton. And Cam Newton last year, I thought, took a lot of blows, not only to his body, but to his head. And I was always questioning, how long can you sustain that level of activity and that level of pounding and punishment to your body? I think what you saw is two things. I know their offense is still explosive, but I think Cam Newton, it took him a while to get off to the start that we seen Cam Newton get to last year. Their defense is also taking a step back. Right. Losing Josh Norman, I think they underestimated the loss of how big he was in that secondary.
Does one man make that big of a difference?
You know what? I think when you have a secondary and you play a system like theirs, which Josh Norman, to me, at the time last year, was the best zone cover corner. We know Richard Sherman, by far and away, is the best man cover corner. Josh Norman plays the best zone coverage of any cornerback, at least he did last year, or one of the best zone cover cornerbacks in the league last year. You need a guy like that. And the Panthers just don't have a solid second. Their defense is historically right now bad. They're giving up a lot of pass yards, Vic. And to me, I think the Panthers underestimated how big of a loss that was. But then you factor in the simple fact they had some injuries early on to the running back. We know they're a team that likes to run the football. But Vic, you got to point the finger at Ron Rivera. I don't know if Ron Rivera is as good of a coach as that 15-1 record stated last year. I've never liked him as a head coach. I think he's a great defensive coordinator, but Ron Rivera never screamed Super Bowl winning head coach to me. So you factor all that in on top of your traditional Super Bowl hangover, and Vic, they're struggling. They're struggling big time.
Right, very true. They're talking about Latavius Murray is also questionable. Now, we all know in the NFL, when it's a questionable thing, pretty much they're going to
play. Yeah.
He is battling an ankle injury, and they said his status is questionable. So with all that being said, now we got to go with a two-headed monster instead of a three-headed monster. Now, we've seen what happened this past week on Monday Night Football against Houston. If I may throw out some numbers real quick, let's see if I find them real quick. If you get DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard to actually run, just them two, we're going to throw in Olawale in there as well. Well, they're going to be facing the 15th ranked defense and number two ranked against the run, giving up an average of 81.8 yards per game and only allowing on the ground 5 TDs. Now, Houston was ranked 21 when we played them on Monday and stopped the running game, and that's with Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that off when we're going to see a stronger? Now, mind you, they are without
Luke Kuechly.
I'm talking about on the defensive side for the Panthers. Defensive end Mario Addison. And then Luke Kuechly. We already knew about him.
Right.
Addison is also out as well.
He's a sack leader.
And he's a sack leader. He's a monster back there. Do you still look at him as the number two ranked against the run, especially without Latavius Murray? Or do you try to alter that and try to do what they did in Mexico and pass to your running backs?
Well, I don't know. I think conventional thinking before the Houston game was that, Houston has a bad rushing defense. They have a really good passing defense, so we're going to run the ball. Musgrave saw it a little different. He still incorporated the running backs, but in a different way than we assumed.
Right.
Because his game plan, you saw that from the jump, his game plan was to get the ball to his running backs in space as opposed to hand it off to them. So the thing that Caleb Panthers are giving up 271.7 yards per game passing. Vic, they're almost giving up 400 yards a game. They're giving up 353.5 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's on the ground or in the air, the Panthers are giving up a lot of yardage.
Right.
So, conventional thinking, which I don't know Bill Musgrave, is that, this you can pass on this team. And we know the Raiders have the number one passing offense in the league. So to me, you want to exploit that matchup. There's not a guy on the Carolina Panthers that can cover Amari Cooper. And there's not a guy in the Carolina Panthers that can cover Michael Crabtree, for that matter. You add in Clive Walford to the mix, I would assume, Vic, that they would take a pass-heavy approach. But what do I know? We thought they were going to take a run-heavy approach last week. They ended up throwing the ball. Now, mind you, they had the most passing yards caught by running backs in the history of the NFL last week. 199 catches, receiving yards for running backs was the most ever for any running back ever. You had Jameis Olawale with the big play. You had Latavius Murray setting up that game-winning touchdown play with Amari Cooper. So I don't know, Vic, but I think that they should pass. They can pass. I know that.
Yeah, that definitely. You know what I would do? I mean, it sounds as simple as this. Run single back the entire game.
Okay.
Run single back the entire game. Run double tight end. And, you got to definitely keep one, to sit there and protect you. Obviously, they're missing their best sack player. With missing him and missing Luke Kuechly, it shouldn't be as bad, but use that extra protection for my man Derek Carr. Keep him upright the entire game. Go single back. So if you have an opening, run the game. But if not, pass all day long. Be pass happy.
Rivera seems to be making a little bit of a revival here, Vic, in terms of his career. He looks like a much more reliable pass catcher than he has in years past. His blocking is still suspect, but I wouldn't agree. I would like to see both of those guys get in the mix, and maybe you see another big play from Jermaine Olawale. All you need is one from the fullback, Vic. But either way, ain't nobody stopping Amari Cooper. Ain't nobody on that team stopping Amari Cooper.
Not at all. What about on the defensive side? Obviously, we already know they're going to miss their center. They're running with another center who's coming in, Gradkowski, who is actually coming off a concussion protocol. And obviously, he's fine if he can play, because otherwise, you know, the NFL is very strict with that now. If he wasn't fine, they wouldn't release him. They wouldn't, you know, give him the green light to go out and play. Don't want to see the brother get hurt again.
Right.
Especially something like that, because, you know, you want to keep everybody healthy. But if he's not 100%, you know, shake that middle up. Shake that middle up the best you can, because their third center, Chris Scott, he hasn't really seen the day of light a lot. So you can really shake up that middle a lot. Now, I know Greg Papa, you were mentioning, Greg Papa was mentioning something about they should line up Khalil Mack in the middle.
Well, he's been,
and this is the perfect chance to do it.
Yeah, he's been kind of, it'd be non-traditional, but he's been kind of an advocate from the beginning now to see, because Khalil Mack is so powerful, to see can you line Khalil Mack right over the center and have him rush from the middle. That would be interesting to see. I've never seen a defensive end take that approach unless it's a stunt. But what if they did, Vic? Why not try to
put... I'll say stunting is really the only way you can get away with it.
Right.
But yes, do you line him up there? You know, but then you got the outside wide open.
It's true. You have the outside open. But I think for me, I'm looking at a couple of things in terms of defense. Real quick, the guy that's going to be stepping in for Luke Kuechly is David Mayo. He's the guy because KJ
Mayo,
Clown.
Mayo, yeah, Mayo, Mayo. Where do I
AJ,
know that name from?
AJ, well, OJ Mayo. I mean, OJ Mayo.
Oh, yeah, okay, never
but, linebacker AJ Klein would have stepped in, but he has a protocol. So they might be running out their third string middle linebacker, Vic, which also bodes well for a Raiders rushing offense. But to me, yeah, you know what? You want to see Khalil Mack do what he does best. But most importantly, Vic, you have to keep Cam Newton in the pocket. Like, that's the reason why I wouldn't put Khalil Mack over the center, because I want Khalil Mack to hold that edge. The worst thing you can have is Cam Newton runs for 80 yards this game,
right,
and the Raiders can't contain him, and he is able to make things happen with his feet. That's the one way I think the Panthers are going to be able to beat you, because their offense hasn't been bad, Vic.
True.
So, to me, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, especially when you have let me just run down the list. It's on both sides here. You know, again, we know when they're questionable, that means pretty much they are available to play. Perry Riley Jr., he's questionable with a hamstring. Kelechi Osemele is questionable with a knee injury. Latavius Murray is questionable with an ankle injury. Keith McGill III is questionable with an abdominal injury. Stacey McGee is questionable with an ankle injury. Our center, Rodney Hudson, we need him, is questionable with a knee injury. Michael Crabtree is questionable with an ankle injury. David Amerson is questionable with a knee. Now, the person who is out is Calhoun.
Yeah, Shalik Calhoun, who had maybe his worst game of the year last week against the Houstons. He played bad.
You mean against the Texans?
I'm sorry, against the
Houstons. We can call them the Houstons. The Houstons is fine. People understand.
Right, but he had a bad game, Vic. Terrible game, Vic. I mean, just atrocious from all accounts. So I don't think you're going to miss him that much.
No, not at all.
No,
who
not
steps
at all.
In?
To me, I think, you know what? You still have Corey James back there, who plays a little bit of depth. But to me, you have the linebackers, Perry Riley, Malcolm Smith, and Bruce Irvin. Bruce Irvin, Vic, me and you were calling for him to step up and make some plays. He's finally looking like that versatile linebacker that the Raiders, you know, 10 tackles this past week, 9 of them are solo, that the Raiders, you know, signed to that at least pretty solid contract. It wasn't a mind-blowing contract, but it was a lot of money, 40-something million for a linebacker who doesn't necessarily have a true linebacking position. He's a pass rusher. He's actually a cover linebacker. You know, but either way, he played and made sideline to sideline tackles last week. So I'm glad to see Bruce Irvin finally getting into the mix.
Definitely. Khalil Mack has 7 sacks in his last 5 games. Not bad.
And he has 5 in a row. 5 games in a row with a sack.
Last 5 games in a row. Yeah, last 5 games in a row, 7 sacks in total. My big question is, knowing now who's injured, who's what, and how they've been playing, when their offensive line is very suspect, do you believe he would record a sack in a 6th game in a row?
I think Khalil Mack is salivating. I think this is where Khalil Mack shows again why he's in the hunt for that defensive player of the year. With that center, Khalil, their center who's out on the other side, and having to have potentially a third-string center step in, that messes up the continuity of the entire offensive line. And so Khalil Mack, we know he can't be stopped one-on-one, but if you don't have a guy who knows how to call protection, Khalil Mack might get a lot more one-on-ones, especially with the emergence of Bruce Irvin. I say Khalil Mack gets a sack.
All right. Coming up right now, we have Miss Courtney Cronin. You can follow her at Twitter at Courtney R. Cronin. She's a multimedia sports reporter for At The Merck News, also at Bang_Sports, covering the Raiders, Niners, Warriors, and the Giants. And she's at a whole different level than we are because she's a national award-winning journalist.
Nice.
So she's got some time for us. Courtney, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good, but I'm on the same level as everyone else. That just helps with some branding, you know?
Hey, you girl, brush your shoulders off, take it for what it is, and run with it, girl.
Toot your horn a little bit. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong. But thank you, Courtney, for coming on with us. I know we can talk a lot of different things with you. We're just talking about the silver and black right now. They go south of the border last week. They get that victory. You know, a lot of questions around it, but to me, it wasn't the best game played that I have seen the Raiders play. We know that they can play a whole lot better. Before we move into tomorrow's game against the Panthers, what did you take out of that victory down in Mexico against the Texans for the Raiders?
Well, I think the biggest thing you take away is that this team's identity has gone back to that of, you know, what got them to the Super Bowl years more than a decade ago. This is a team that can pull out really close games, unlike its opponent that it plays tomorrow. I mean, they've kind of flipped the script of, you know, the identity that the Panthers had last year going to Super Bowl and, you know, the identity of they have now. Same thing with the Raiders. I mean, a year ago, this Raiders team probably would not have won that game and gone for it, at least, you know, on 4th-and-1 there late in the fourth quarter. And now it's a completely different story that starts with having, you know, your franchise quarterback with Derek Carr. Just you've seen his progression throughout the year and just how much of a benefit it was for the Raiders to pay, you know, pony up some big cash for that offensive line. It all kind of yields the big result that they were able to get in several close games. They really haven't outscored opponents by that much, you know, so far in a lot of their wins, especially those on the road. Even though this is technically considered a home game, it was still a road game, all things considered. So I think that's the biggest takeaway, in that this team, you know, it's not an ugly game, it's not a pretty win, it's an ugly win, but wins are wins in this league, and they're hard to come by, and they were able to do that.
Yeah, Courtney, you know what I think one of the biggest kind of revelations this year has been the emergence of Derek Carr under pressure, under the gun, and, you know, down in the fourth quarter, he's made a lot of fourth quarter comebacks. I believe he leads the league. I'm going to ask you, in the midst of this long Thanksgiving weekend, if you had to compare Derek Carr to a Thanksgiving dish, what dish would it be?
I mean, I guess it's the turkey's the main dish.
Nice.
He's the head honcho. So I guess, I mean, this is he's truly their franchise quarterback. They found the future of this franchise for at least, you know, the next 5-6 seasons. You know, you hope that this is somebody who has a, you know, on track to have a very long career. But I think that that's a safe bet just because he's the leader of this team. You know, you take a look at where he was at this point last year, his biggest issues came in the fourth quarter. That's where most of his interceptions were. He has 4 interceptions now. And that's just, it's just completely slashed more than in half of what he did last season. And I think that he's really coming into his own. I mean, he's on the level of, you know, becoming an elite quarterback. He's in the conversation for the MVP award this year, and rightfully so. I mean, he's done everything in his power in this offseason to take his game to the next level, and we've seen it unfold. It's now, you know, just in the prime of the season, which is really cool for him.
So, Courtney, can I tweet this out and go on record that Courtney called Derek Carr a turkey?
I mean, in the most endearing sense, turkey's the main dish.
There you go.
Unless you're a vegetarian.
Right. Tofurkey, don't do it, people. Right.
Talking to Courtney Cronin. You can follow her at Twitter at Courtney R. Cronin. They're talking about Latavius Murray. He's still, he's nursing an ankle injury. If he is out, they say he's questionable. We already know in the NFL when they're questionable, they're going to play. But if he is of absence and doesn't play, now we got to run with a two-headed monster with Washington and Richard. And we know that Luke Kuechly is out. And so is defensive end, their sack leader, Mario Addison. Should we salivate at that and kind of just run it down the throats as much as we can? Because we all know the run opens up the passing game, because we already know what Derek Carr can do. Or should we still be pretty much, I'd hate to say, you know, on the soft side, but they are ranked number 2 against the rush.
Yeah, and I think that that's something you need to take into consideration. Obviously, you know, Luke is a Pro Bowler linebacker. He's the captain of that defense. And with that concussion he sustained, I mean, you got to wonder about what his future is the rest of the season, considering what, you know, the rest of the Panthers, you know, they've had some issues with the concussion protocol. I think Michael has been in it now for over 60 days. So it's kind of a scary situation going on there, scary reality for them. But when it comes to what the Raiders did last week, and they only gained 30 yards on the ground, they're not going to just try to, you know, the thing is that they're so versatile with their running backs that, you know, Rashard and Murray became wide receivers. And I mean, they utilize them in short slants, you know, utilizing them out of the slot. It's smart. And I think that that's what we're going to see tomorrow if they can't establish the run again. But I think that they start to get it going. I mean, they have such a gem in Jalen Rashard. I covered the kid in Southern Miss for 3 years, and that is, what a steal. Like, what a story. I mean, the kid's an undrafted free agent, not even a priority. Comes here on a rookie tryout, you know, shows out in his first game of the season in New Orleans, which is, you know, Penn State, and then just a really cool story throughout the year, and definitely a candidate for, you know, team rookie MVP. Obviously, you've got to throw Carl Joseph in that too, but he's done so much with every opportunity he's had. So I think tomorrow, you know, if Murray is out, if he doesn't play, as you said, obviously the lingering injury, you know, I still think that there's a very good chance that we do see him. But Rashard has, you know, really outperformed a lot of those guys. And you know, him and DeAndre Washington have been a good package, even in, as we saw earlier, you know, in 3 weeks, you know, for a three-week stretch, you know, without Latavius Murray, the two of them held their own except against Kansas City. So I think it's a good situation to be in, you know, if Murray is indeed out.
All right, so we'll see you tomorrow, 1:25 kickoff from the Coliseum. You can hear it all right here on 95.7 The Game. The pre-show starts at 11:30 with Chris Townsend and also Bill Romanowski. You definitely don't want to miss out on that. Our guest right now is Courtney Cronin, and we can talk a little bit about everything. We definitely want to talk some Warriors before we let you go, but I got to throw this out there. It is basketball season. It is football season, but I'm hearing the Kung Fu Panda could be returning to the Bay Area. I know this story just broke yesterday, the day before, the Red Sox third baseman Pablo Sandoval. Yes, Giant fans know him, but that's a lot of money that needs to be eaten up by the Red Sox. But I heard that the Giants are in talks or maybe even interested. What do you know about this story?
You know, I think it's still in the early stages of it. You know, because the Giants have discussed bringing him back. What does that mean? I mean, you know, for a lot of, you know, I think a lot of people want to see what the Giants are going to do with the closer position and throwing a lot of money. I mean, you heard the talks in the fall meetings, that, you know, meeting with Aroldis Chapman's people early on, whether that's going to go anywhere. It seems like that talk has died down. I think the stuff that we're going to see, you know, when he left the $5 million contract with Boston after 2014. So that's, you know, he's kind of had an underwhelming, you know, whether the struggle is now, you know, if they want to be able to try to fit him in where they're, you know, where their space is for him on the team. I still think it's early. I think it's an early conversation. They've got some work to do in the off season. And then for me, it starts all up, you know, for everybody. I think it starts with the closer. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if that conversation comes to anything, but for now, I think it's, you know, it's the beginning stages of it.
Hey, and he looks very healthy. I don't know if you've seen a picture of him out there in Barcelona. He looked like he lost about 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's been the key for him. I mean, he's admitted it. He's had some problems, you know, with his weight. So that's, you got to wonder, you know, what health are you getting, Pablo Sandoval, if you do bring him to the Bay Area again?
Right.
Yeah, speaking of free agent signings, the Warriors had a pretty good one this past summer in Kevin Durant, and he seems to be everything you can ask for, all we thought he was going to be. The Warriors made quick work of the Lakers the last couple of games. But real quickly, tell me about how Kevin Durant has fit in into this Warriors offense that may be historically one of the best offenses we've ever seen on an NBA court.
I think he's fit in pretty well. I think that's, you know, it speaks for itself. I mean, you saw what they did at Oracle the other night. Now they have the NBA, you know, the record for assists, which Durant spoke to, just saying how comfortable they finally are with each other, because it felt like, you know, after that first game and, you know, they get, you know, it felt like it was close for a while against New Orleans, you know, in the game, Curry ended up, you know, getting the NBA record for threes in the game. It's just, there's a lot of panic, I think, among just the outside of, you know, is this team gelling? How long is it going to take? I think, you know, against Los Angeles on Wednesday, you saw that finally come to fruition. And Kevin's, I mean, he's been such a huge spark of it. I mean, he's, even in, like, when they go super small and they're making him play the five, he's done a really good job adapting to where he fits in this offense. And even on defense, I think you're really starting to see him come into his own. and really worked into the, you know, kind of this, the core of this team. So, I mean, everything, this is exactly how they expected it to go. I mean, it wasn't going to be, you know, snap your fingers and this team looks like a team that's ready to contend for the finals on game one, but it's becoming a trend now. We're beating teams by 30 points. I mean,
yeah,
that's probably what we're going to see all season long. It's the exact same thing that we saw last year too. I mean, this is the MO for this era of the Warriors team, and Kevin Durant's fitting nicely into it.
No doubt. Courtney, real quick, I want to ask you, you know, we know that the defense is going to take some time to adjust. I think Andrew Bogut was the best defensive center in the NBA, and really by a long shot. I know DeAndre Jordan is a great shot blocker, but in terms of all Andrew Bogut brought to the table, we know that the defense is going to have to adjust. But how do you kind of negotiate the contract between the Warriors being one of the best shot-blocking teams and their defense also taking a step back? They had another 10 shot blocks last night. Tell me about what they've been doing to block more shots at the rim, and do you think that will be a factor going down deep into the playoffs where they don't have a traditional shot blocker besides JaVale McGee, who hasn't been playing a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a rotation at center. I mean, Zaza came into the game last night, I think, with three blocks, and by the time he ended it, you know, he had three, you know, early on in the game.
Yeah.
And or by halftime. That's huge, because I think that's a huge knock on him, is that he's just not a traditional rim protector like you had with Andrew Bogut, and that would be, you know, we talked about the Giants, their Achilles heel in 2016, their Achilles heel was their closer. You know, down the stretch, could the Warriors' Achilles heel be the fact that they don't have an Andrew Bogut, that he's gone, his absence will be felt? Maybe, but I really think the rotation that Steve Kerr is working with right now, and we said this was going to be something that's not figured out necessarily by the end of November, not necessarily figured out by the first half of the season. I think they're working at it, though. I mean, being able to, you know, split his minutes, getting David West in there, as you mentioned, JaVale McGee. I mean, it's been a good mix. But I think Zaza has really surprised some people, just with his, you know, ability around the rim, and, you know, just this is the way that he's been able to kind of command charge of this defense early on. I mean, he's not somebody that gets praised a lot for blocking shots, so when you do see that show up on the stat sheet, it's something to talk about.
Mm.
Now, Courtney, before we let you go, tonight's game, it's at 7:30 at Oracle against the Timberwolves, Los Lobos. Ian Clark throat and also Draymond Green, excuse me, left ankle contusion. If Draymond Green, no disrespect to Clark, but if Draymond Green does not play and he is not a go tonight, does that change the game a lot for the Warriors against the Lobos?
You know, I think that it was. I mean, if you're the Warriors, you're thanking, you know, somebody above for that not being a more serious situation, with, you know, Clark just getting hit in the throat and not being a concussion, and, you know, Draymond's ankle. I think that it's, you know, to me, this is not a huge situation. It's still really early in the season. You've got to wonder who's going to be, you know, how this team's going to be able to.
Did we lose her?
I think we might have lost her.
Oh, I think we lost her right there. Well, anyway,
great stuff, though.
Great stuff that
no
she
doubt,
had right
no
there.
Doubt.
Just she's definitely on my Christmas list to get her a new phone. But Courtney Cronin, love the lady. Great stuff. She knows her stuff, and we always respect her, and that's why we had her on. Courtney R. Cronin, that is her Twitter. Follow her on there. She's a multimedia sports reporter for the Merck News and also Bang_Sports. Covers the Raiders, Niners, Warriors, and the Giants. And like we mentioned, we'll brush her shoulders off for her. She's a national award-winning journalist.
No
she
doubt.
Deserves it, so
yep.
Why not?
Yep.
So I want to thank her so much for coming on, and I'm sure we'll have her again sometime soon.
There you go.
Golden State Warriors, boy. They were bookends to Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And you got to love it. And I know you have a saying about that, and we'll talk about that next here with Brandon Santiago. Victor Zaragoza, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Brandon Santiago and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game.
Mm-hmm.
No diggity. I love this song. Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Brandon Santiago, Victor Zaragoza here till 3 o'clock. Now let's move over to the Golden State Warriors real quick. I want to thank Courtney Cronin for coming on with us. You can follow her on Twitter at Courtney R. Cronin, C-R-O-N-I-N. Great, great job. The lady knows a lot, so please follow her. She's always breaking down a lot of good stuff. So she can talk Raiders, Niners, Warriors, and also Giants. And, of course, she can even go deeper than that. But let's go ahead and talk about the Golden State Warriors. They chalk up another W, making it 10 in a row by beating the Los Angeles Lakers again, 109-85. And I say again because, well, on Wednesday they handled them here at Roracle, 149-106. Welcome home, Luke. Like I mentioned, the first one was a thank you for what you did for us at the Golden State Warriors. Here's your win. Next time we see you, we're going to kick your butt. And you know we see them the last game of the season again? The last game, April 12th or something like that.
Kind of curious. It's not even November. We played them three times already, two times at home. I think for me, though, the first game was actually, though, the Warriors came out as flat as you. I've seen them all. That was the flattest they've come out that game. And Luke Walton has the Lakers playing well.
Yeah.
They're not a team that I think you can just walk over anymore. And they were without, mind you, they did blow them out 149 points in the first game on Tuesday night, or Wednesday night.
And then last night, Thanksgiving,
they won, but they had two of arguably their best players out, in D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle. Both of those guys are good players. And so we didn't see the Lakers at full strength. I still think the Warriors would have won, but I'm really proud of what Luke Walton has done. He's made at least a respectable team out of those young kids over there in L.A.
Yeah, so next game tonight starts at five-game homestands. That's what I wanted to say. It starts at 7:30, and it all starts with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it, all the coverage starts right here on 95.7 The Game. It all kicks off at 6 o'clock, and that'll be with Damon Bruce, and then, of course, the Warriors wrap-up with Matt Stamets following the buzzer. So make sure you don't miss out any of it right here on 95.7 The Game. So with all that being said, Draymond Green and Ian Clark, they both go down. It was just a freak accident, you know, freakish accident. I mean, Ian Clark goes down, Draymond comes down on his throat.
Two Warriors with 1 foot.
Yeah, exactly. And then he twists his ankle. They call it a contusion, so that's basically a bruise.
A deep, deep bruise.
You know, it's a deep bruise. So we still haven't got any word yet whether he's going to play or not. They're just saying that he's questionable. He said yesterday that he wanted to play. You're saying that it's better that he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't.
Because they have one day of rest, which is tomorrow, and then they have the Atlanta Hawks coming into town.
Well, two things. I think first and foremost, Draymond Green, he is a true warrior in the sense that he plays for the Warriors, and he's a true warrior. And I love watching the kid play. I knew for a fact that unless Draymond Green had a season-ending injury, he was going to play or try to play tonight. But I think, you know what, you say Draymond, you sit him down and say, listen, Draymond, right now, you're probably our best defensive player. We need you for the long haul. The Minnesota Timberwolves are a good team, but we can probably beat them without you. Have a seat, enjoy your rest, enjoy this extended holiday weekend, and suit up and get ready to play on Monday against the Atlanta Hawks. That's what I would say. I don't think you need to rush Draymond Green back. A bone contusion is that it means that there's some weakness in that bone, and it's a deep bruise. Who knows what can happen with that? And you want Draymond 100% for the entire season. Ian Clark as well. I've never, you know, I'm not familiar with throat injuries and how that. I know that must be tough, but I still think he might, if he can, he can give it a shot. But I would prefer Draymond to have a seat.
All right. So with that being said, let's say if he is out, how much does that change or alter the game period for the Warriors?
I mean, he's their best defensive player. He's their most versatile player. To me, he might be their most important player. And I say that. We know KD can put up 40 points, but so can Klay. We know Klay can put up 40, but so can Steph. So what KD does is replaceable in terms of the points he scores. What Steph does is replaceable in terms of the points. Now, we know KD is a great defender, and we know Steph is a great passer, and we know Klay is also a great perimeter defender, so you can't replace that. But in terms of their output on the court, when they score, it's replaceable. You cannot. There's not a single guy on the Warriors roster that can replace what Draymond Green does. It just doesn't exist, Vic. There's not a person on that roster that can defend the way he defends, that can set up his teammates the way he does, and ultimately the way he can guard the pick and roll. No one else can do that, Vic.
With all that being said, let me throw this stat at you real quick. Draymond Green had one block yesterday, a block shot. And with that block shot, it actually totals up with 10. And it is the league-leading third double-digit block game for the season for the Golden State Warriors. I'll break it all down for you. Durant had two block shots. Draymond Green, like I mentioned, had one. Zaza had three. JaVale McGee had one. Kevon Looney had two. And then also Michael McAdoo had one. So when you total all up, you got 10 block shots right there. You take away Draymond's, obviously he had one yesterday, but Zaza had three. The man that we didn't think that could actually work like that.
Yeah, I mean, block shots are such a deceiving stat.
Yeah, true.
Block shots don't necessarily mean great rim protection.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They don't necessarily mean a good defender. We know that in years past, DeAndre Jordan was a great shot blocker, but he wasn't always a great defender until the last couple of years. So, to me, what it does speak, though, is that the Warriors have designed a defense that makes up for the lack of a true shot blocker in Andrew Bogut. And that's what I think is a little more exciting, is that they designed a defense where folks are going to get block shots, and they're obviously emphasizing the need to contend shots, whether they're in the paint or at the perimeter. And that's what you want to see, Vic. And they got to continue to do that because they don't have that seven-footer back there. Right. Although they do, Vic and JaVale. And, you know, he had a magnificent block last night. The block that he had where he bit on the pump fake and then nonchalantly turned around and jumped 12 feet in the air to block the shot. But right on the other end of that, as soon as he blocked the shot, the guy catches the shot. And then JaVale's running back on offense already. It's like, hey, buddy, you haven't secured the ball yet. The play's still live. But they do have him. But as it stands, they're a defense by team. They're team defense, shot blocking by committee, if you will.
Okay. So, you know, it's kind of funny when you say that shot blocking by committee, and you were saying they put a defense to make up for what they lost to Andrew Bogut. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It scares me at the same time because one man was able to do all this. Now it takes 6 people to do what Bogut was doing. But Bogut can't be all over the court at the same time.
Well, Bogut didn't have 10 block shots.
No. But what I'm saying is it takes six to get up to that level when we are comparing him to Andrew Bogut. But these 6 people are going to be in different positions at different times where Bogut cannot be in all different positions.
And it's been highly, we've talked about it on this show. Everyone has talked about it. The Warriors' best defensive play is when a perimeter defender would get beat and they would funnel that player right into Andrew Bogut, and you would see the big Aussie there either to give you one heck of a side body shot or block your shot. Right. They don't have that anymore, Vic. But KD, I've been impressed with his defense.
Yeah.
He
stepped up his game a lot.
Right. Both on a perimeter and that shot blocking ability. We know he's long and lengthy and he can jump higher and quicker than you think. But I want to see, Vic, I want to continue to see that defensive field goal percentage drop. Field goal percentage against, which I think has been a little too high. Although, Vic, you know, people say, well, they're giving up 120-something points, yeah, but they scored 150.
Right.
It doesn't matter. If they scored 100 points and the team only scored 70, you would call that a remarkable defensive performance. But you're not going to score 70 points if you score 150 points. So you have to look at the context of the game. That's why I go per 100 possessions. The Warriors' defense has been a lot better the last 8 games per 100 possessions than it was the previous 8 games.
Mm-hmm. Despite the Warriors' 24-point win, Coach Steve Kerr laid it into the team. And we have audio coming up next. That I can promise you, so don't go anywhere. It's Brandon Santiago, Victor Zaragoza, 95.7 a game. Also, don't forget to catch the Verizon Warriors warm-up with Damon Bruce 90 minutes before each and every Warriors game. Verizon Warriors warm-up, built by Dolan's Lumber, doors and windows, and only on your new home of the Warriors, 95.7 the game.
Now, back to Brandon Santiago and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game.
It was one of the worst basketball games I've ever seen in my life. We were awful, and they were awful. And the people who bought tickets should get their money back. Honestly, I'm not trying to make a joke. It was a horrible basketball game.
Ouch.
Well, how do you really feel, Steve?
All I got to say is ouch. And then he did go on to say, you know, I really don't know why everyone must have had, you know, too much turkey last night. Neither team practiced. They're without half of their team. So we should have really took it to them.
It's like, man, no respect. Oh, well.
That's how Steve Kerr was not. He didn't care about the win or the loss. He was just like, yo, homie, that was bad. You know what? It's so funny because Draymond's response was like, all right, it was bad, but it wasn't, I don't know, about the worst game you've ever seen. Steve Kerr knows how to use hyperbole to really motivate his team because, you know, if they felt like, dang, Coach, though, we played that, but you know tonight they're going to – they could have slept.
What did Durant say?
Durant was like, I guess we got to play better than – he was just like – he said – he cursed. He was like, dang, okay, I guess we got to play better than – he's the coach. But to me, Vic, it's genius because they just blew out the Lakers. They scored 150 points, the night before Thanksgiving.
Right,
149 points the night before Thanksgiving. Then they come out and play a bad game and win. That is setting you up to think you can just show up and win. And so Steve Kerr needed somehow to motivate them. Like, listen, I know you just scored 159 or 149 points. I know you just played your worst game of the season, maybe, and you still beat a team by 20 almost.
24.
That doesn't mean, I mean, 24, I'm sorry. That doesn't mean that you can just show up tonight, because the Timberwolves are going to be ready to play them.
Oh, yeah, of course they are.
And they have a coach in Tom Thibodeau who knows how to play defense.
Right.
And so Steve Kerr had to do that.
I like his ending quote. He says, "We were pretty bad, but we got the win. We will move on. Hopefully, we'll play better tomorrow," meaning tonight against the Timberwolves.
They need to tonight. They need to goon up tonight, Dre. Speaking of you, Draymond, because you know there's a couple of defensive assignments you missed last night, even though he's more than he can miss his more than his fair share of assignments because he's playing so well.
So is this Luke Walton, what he learned from my man Coach Kerr, when you say, you know, he's genius for what he's doing? Because then also the Lakers head coach, Luke Walton, he had a similar assessment. He says, you know, it looked like a Thanksgiving food hangover. He said the team official, Joey Ramirez, had said that he had came out and said, you know what, Golden State is obviously a premier team in this league, but I don't even think they were great tonight. They were good, but they were better than us.
That's Luke Walton?
Yeah, that's Luke Walton saying that.
Right. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry at one point were combined like 2 for 12. Steph Curry, I hope the Lakers never get good, because Steph Curry never wants to have a playoff game, a playoff series in L.A., because he doesn't shoot the ball well there for some strange reason. Remember, he went 0 for 10 the last time they played in Los Angeles. He's right. They didn't play good, but Vic, I mean, that's the thing, though, is these guys can come in, you know, a half sleep, stuff with turkey, you know, maybe even still a little buzz from the night before, and still figure out a way to beat a team by 24. Vic, that's the scary part about this Golden State Warriors team. I don't know how you stop a team like that. I do know they can stop themselves. And that's why Steve Kerr had to let them know, all right, y'all, we get it. Well, you're great. You're a great team offensively, especially. But that doesn't mean you can take your foot off the gas. And that's what I think that message was to folks, is like, you played well. You know, Wednesday night, you played terrible last night, but we have to step it up against Minnesota.
What was up with Steph Curry, man? He's not a dunker. He can dunk, but he's not a dunker. And he went for that little dunk. And it just,
why you do that, Vic? For that little dunk, like, why you? That's what it was.
He's gonna make Shaq to the fool this week, dude. That's what's gonna happen.
The basket.
I love Curry, though. I love. Don't get me wrong. I love. He just lay it up.
How is it a little dunk, though? The basket's still 10 feet tall. Why is it a little dunk for Steph? They don't lower it when Steph's coming on a fast break. You're not like, all right, guys, crank it down.
Like, I'm saying he wasn't coming in like a beast. He wasn't Space Jam.
It was bad.
You know, it was ugly.
It was bad. It was like
Steph. We love you, brother. I mean, we do, but come on.
It was almost like the rim spit it out. It was like. What the heck are you thinking, dude? You know you don't put your fingers on my rim. Lay it up like you've been doing your whole life.
Someone in the 323 off the text line, the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, says, "Dubs are unstoppable, are an unstoppable machine. They have hit their stride."
Offensively, Vic, they're a man.
Yeah, and they still got room to grow.
Oh,
they still got a lot of room to grow.
Miles.
You know, and then defense is even behind that.
Yes.
You know, so I'll give that text, the person who texts, I'll give them that. They found a stride, but not the stride.
Yeah, they're
especially only a few games in.
For sure, Vic. You can't. The scary part about it is you don't really know how good they can be offensively, because they're still not playing technically with that chemistry and continuity that we saw the last couple of years. Mm. Now, they're still putting up monster numbers, Vic. 149 points. I don't care against who. But there's still room for improvement. There's still some nonchalant passes. There's still – I still see
–
Kevin Durant still sometimes he doesn't move without the ball as well as he can. But this team, Vic, can they – now here I go. Can they win 33 games in a row? I'm going to ask it. Can they? Vic, it's not
we
even –
we don't need 33
but we
in
don't
a row,
even,
though.
How many – eight in a row, Vic?
10 at the moment.
Who cares?
10.
Nobody's even talking about it. It's like, oh, well, the Warriors have won 10 games in a row. Who cares? My question to you, Vic.
That's a good run.
It is a great, Vic. You win 10 games in a row in the NBA.
And now they got 5 at home.
But it's not even making news. No one even cares. No one. It's like an afterthought, like, oh, the Warriors won 10 in a row. My question to you, Vic, is can they win 33 games in a row?
Can they? Yes. Will they? I think not.
Are they going to? I think that there's a chance. When you look at this schedule and you look at them having fresh legs right now, there's a possibility they can learn. It's almost like on-the-job training. You know, when you get hired for a job, some jobs have like 2 weeks of the most boring training in the world where you got to watch some corny video from the 1990s tell you not to do things.
I like them videos from the 90s.
I hate those videos. Cool. I remember one time I was in, I'm not going to say the company, but I just left. I was like, I can't do this show. Put me on a job, man. But the point is there's some on-job, there's some training where it's before you get, but there's on-the-job training. Right now the Warriors are on-the-job training, and they can potentially win 33 games in a row while doing training on the job.
Okay, let's go by just a handful at a time here. We still got a couple of minutes. Last time they lost, 117-97, to the L.A. Lakers.
The mini Lakers.
The mini Lakers?
That's what I like to call them now, yeah.
That was back on November 4th. Right now they're on a 10-game winning streak, all right? So let me throw a couple of games at you.
Here
at home, they got a 5-game stand.
Okay.
All right, starting tonight against the Timberwolves. Easy win, okay win. It's going to be a struggle, but they can do it.
I mean, we know the Timberwolves beat them last year at home, Vic, and we know that the Timberwolves have something that the Warriors always struggle against, which is that 7-footer who can play back to the basket and can step out and shoot the ball. Carl Anthony Towns is going to give them some trouble. They ain't got nobody that can guard him, just like they don't got nobody that can guard Anthony Davis. However, I still do think that they win simply because the Timberwolves' offense has been terrible in the second half of games, and they still don't have – they have one of the worst defenses in the league. So I think the Warriors are going to figure out a way to manufacture points and score more than the Timberwolves do.
All right, and they rest tomorrow, but on Monday they back at it again against the ATL, the Atlanta Hawks. They're coming to town with my man Howard.
That's interesting. That's always an interesting matchup. The Atlanta Hawks move the ball as well as the Warriors did at least they have in seasons past, and Dwight Howard always figures out a way to at least play well against the Warriors. I know that he's had some brutal matchups with Andrew Bogut, but I think that they win, Vic. They take that at home. They beat Atlanta.
All right, then they have a couple of days off, and they don't play till next month, even though next month's just a few days, December 1st against the Houston Rockets.
Now that's a game, Vic. Now that's a game I'm excited to see. The Rockets got Eric Gordon coming off the bench. Who would have ever thought that? The Rockets have Nene coming off the bench, Vic. They have a team that really can't compete offensively, so I'm curious to see how the Rockets do. Potentially, that might be a loss. I don't know, though.
All right, and then December 3rd, they have the Phoenix Suns.
Who? The Phoenix Suns sets, because that's what they need to go away. That's what they need to do.
And to finish up the 5-game home stands, they see the Indiana Pacers again here at home on December 5th.
You know, Paul George, we never know what he can do, but right. I still would take the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they're going to be favored in every game they play, but the Rockets won. That's an interesting game. That's an interesting game, Vic.
So that's 5 games in a row they're going to have here at home, and then they go on the road for 5 games, starting off, and I'll just run them real quick.
Yeah.
The L.A. Clippers, the Utah Jazz, the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves again, and the Pelicans.
Don't look up and see that the Grizzlies are one of the best teams in the NBA right
True.
Now. So the Grizzlies and the Clippers, those are two tough teams.
Mm-hmm.
They can lose one of those games, potentially. I still got to win them both.
That's why I'm saying they're not going to go 33.
Okay, all right. Makes sense.
I'll just say
makes sense.
All right, we'll continue with the Golden State Warrior talk as they do play the Wolves tonight, the Timberwolves. And I'll give you all the details how you can listen to all the action right here on 95.7 The Game. And then also I want to do a little something with you. I'm going to throw a quick little early season takeaways. You
Ooh.
Tell me if yay or nay and why. All right, I'm going to throw those at you, and we'll do that next right here with Brandon Santiago and Victor Zaragoza, 95.7 The Game. Make sure not to miss Warriors Wednesday on 95.7 The Game, featuring Warriors President of Basketball Operations and General Manager Bob Myers at 1:30 p.m. Brought to you by Walnut Creek Porsche, a 2016 Premier Porsche dealer, and Premier Kia of Newark, the go-to dealer for the greater Newark area.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.